Busy show. We got an hour under our belts. Three more to go. We got tons coming. Dave Poulin was in Montreal. Watched the Habs get waxed last night by the Sharks. Dave will join us next hour. And then after 9 o'clock, we'll go to Montreal and talk to Tony Marinaro from TSN 690. What's up with the Habs? 0-4 for the first time in 25 years. Isn't it nice if you're a fan of the Sens just to have everybody else have the implosion happening somewhere else for the first time? So we'll talk some Habs coming up off their big loss against San Jose. So we'll do that. We've got some winning for you later on this hour. It's our TSN $1,200,000 minute. But hopefully, well, at least John did, we've got our contestant ready to go. We're playing our King of the Grill contest right out of the chute here at 7 o'clock in the morning. Good morning, John. How are you doing this morning?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Thanks. Sounds like you're on the road. Where are you headed to?
Downtown.
Okay. All right. How's traffic this morning?
Pretty good right now.
Okay. All right. We'll hope that continues. Now we hope that we can also have you qualify, John. Do you know about the King of the Grill contest?
Yes, I do.
Okay, presented by Capital Barbecue. Here's what we've got up for grabs. One person is going to win this in about a week and a half or so. November 1st, Simmer and I will give away to someone the Traeger Pro 575 Pellet Grill. Have you seen a picture of this thing? Are you familiar with Traeger grills?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, the sort of sideways barrel with the chimney and the hat on top.
You're so scientific.
All right. It's a beautiful machine. It's worth an unbelievable amount. Probably more money than you typically spend on a barbecue. John, fair to say that?
Possibly. Sure.
Okay. All right. You're a barbecue guy?
Yep, for sure. Year-round.
Okay. All right. Year-round. There we go. Okay. So, John, here's the way you're going to qualify. We've got a question for you. You get it right, you automatically go into the grand prize draw. It's that simple. You ready to go?
Sounds good.
Okay, John, it's a 50-50 chance. Here we go. The question, John, is this. Which is not a type of barbecued rib? Which is not a type of barbecued rib? Is it A, baby back ribs, or B, McRib? John, what is not a type of barbecued rib? Is it a baby back rib or McRib? John, what's not a barbecued rib?
I would go with B.
You go with B. Your answer is McRib?
That's right.
Okay, John has gone with McRib. What do we think about that answer, everybody? That's absolutely right, John. You've done it. Who doesn't enjoy a nice, tasty McRib, courtesy of our friends at McDonald's? No, that is not what you typically would make on your barbecue. But, John, you've solved our mystery. Congratulations. Way to go.
Thanks very much.
All right, you qualified. The grand prize draw comes up on November the 1st. Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right. There goes John, another satisfied customer. Two more chances for you to qualify coming up after 10 this morning on In the Box and the Drive this afternoon at 2.
Got to give a shout out to Hammer. Compliments to him for putting these together, Jer, because it really,
yes.
It's been those questions have been
tough, eh?
Yeah,
skill testing.
They've been very, very good.
Yep.
Does a McRib, technically, it's a rib and a bunch of fat with some sauce on it, right?
Have you ever had it? I looked it up.
The McFatty?
Because I had to make sure that my questions are absolutely factual.
Yeah. Yes.
And it is described, and I get all my facts from Wikipedia,
yeah.
as a pork patty.
Oh, pork patty.
The McRib, and does that not sound delicious?
Uh-huh.
A pork patty.
And it's limited time, right? They don't have it all the time, right?
Oh, of course not. You can't have it
you
all the time.
You still have the McRib?
It comes out, I think, once every couple of years, uh-huh. once a year. You can still get that bad boy at your local McDonald's.
When they have some extra pork patty laying around, they decide to have a McRib special? Is that what happens?
Exactly.
Okay, all right. Okay, congratulations, John. Again, we'll do it two more times today through the rest of this week. All of next week, grand prize draw comes up on November the 1st. Again, thanks to our friends at Capital Barbecue for supplying the unbelievable grand prize in this. Okay, 7:19. Let's talk a little bit of Sens. We haven't done that yet this morning. They were back at practice yesterday for the first time after a day off on Monday. We'll talk about the changes up front. We also saw Matt Murray, who missed the first three games of the season from what's been described as everything to, well, I saw it described yesterday now as the flu, to a cold, to a sinus infection, whatever. He hasn't been able to get on the ice. He was on the ice yesterday. Here's DJ Smith, head coach, on how he looked.
Real good today. Competed real hard. That'll be, and I'll talk to Berkey about that to see where he's at. So that decision won't be for at least another day, but I thought he was real good today.
All right. To Berkey, of course, would be Zach Burke, the Sens goaltending coach, who DJ Smith says He's the goaltending guy. I don't know anything. Goaltending is voodoo to me. The goalie coach tells me who's what's good to go and what's not. And it sounds like Matt Murray's trending toward playing tomorrow.
And the one thing coach likes when you go hard, hey? We even have the goalie coach, the goalie going hard. Yeah. So, hey, we have that. Hey, hopefully reset whatever the heck he had. Hopefully better. Hopefully 100%. And real important, one of the big parts of the Ottawa start, JR, getting 2-1. Forsberg outstanding, certainly in game one. Game two, other than the couple, well, I didn't think good, but it overall played good. And then Gus the Bus was great. That's exactly what they need. San Jose right now is playing some pretty good hockey, and they just need right off the hop here Thursday night. Get in there. He's had time to practice, should be feeling good, had a nice preseason, and they need top-notch goaltending from him.
Yeah. That would, if Murray does play tomorrow, as we expect that he will, that would be three different goalies in the first four games, which is probably not the way you normally would have drawn it up. I think if Matt Murray was healthy and had played well, he probably would have played three of the first four games himself. Yeah, but I looked at the Sens schedule. It's pretty friendly.
Yeah.
For about the next month or so, there aren't a ton. I think there's one. I know there's one. Maybe there's two back to backs over the next month. Yeah. So if they really want to get Matt Murray on a roll, they can do so in terms of, because I know the coach doesn't like to play guys on back-to-back nights, so there's going to be an opportunity to get him in.
Yeah, and I was still looking at it for Brady Tkachuk. I don't have in front of me, JR, but they go Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Friday, do they not? And then I think Saturday's a back-to-back. That's one of the first ones. So, yeah, a lot of space in here, a lot of reps he can get in for everybody, get Brady Tkachuk comfortable. And they said he was having a bit of tough time in practice the other day, but I got to tell you, JR, if you have your Halloween party, I'd be disappointed if you're not a little hunched over, because that's a sign you didn't have a good partay.
Yeah, the Halloween party apparently was Monday.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So very key. And I got to think that was part of the Chucky signing. Because first of all, he would look to me that would be a guy I'd be very interested in being there. His dad was always outstanding and having a great, along with Randy Carlyle, Halloween party back in the day. And it does set the tone for the year. Either you kind of bond together or some things happen that get everybody in a bit of a bad mood. But it's a real key to a good season, and I think the Sens got that out of the way.
So just so I'm straight here, Brady Tkachuk deciding on a three-year contract or an eight-year contract, or seven in this case, was weighted on the fact that he wanted to be signed to attend the team's Halloween party.
Well, not only attend, JR, I'm assuming he was in charge of it, and so that would have been probably one of the deciding factors. You can totally take over the Halloween party, be captain of the team, plus you get $58 million. So, yeah, no, that's all stuff that you would have been, when they're in Belleville and talking about the Wings, I mean, that would have been probably the last call. Okay. You can have the Halloween party. Chabot is willing to give it over to you. Get over there, get into town, get her going.
So December 1st was not the absolute deadline. It was October 31st.
Well, no, it's not.
That was the big one.
No, it wasn't, Hammer. We didn't know when the party was going to be. So technically.
No, at some point in that month, though. Well, you can't have a Halloween party after Halloween.
Well, you technically also can't have it the night before a game. So this is really important in the schedule to do the veteran move where the boys can just kind of like get let loose. And nowadays, like, I could see Timmy Stutzla, you'd probably have three, like, Mick Ultras, and then you'd head back, or, you know what I mean? They really really go crazy, right? Maybe have one Jello shooter and then call it a night.
Why wouldn't you have the Halloween party on Sunday night after the game? And then, because Monday was a day off, a scheduled day off, and then, you know, if you wanted to, you could go Irceps, biceps, triceps, hard.
That's a good point. That's an excellent, especially with
Monday was a school day.
Yeah,
right?
5 o'clock start chair. That's a really good point. Availability, also Monday nights, cheaper costumes, just in case
you're
doing that. Hey,
I got to think that Brady with the 58 schmil is springing for the costumes for all the boys, though.
Yeah.
This one's on me, fellas.
Yeah. Been some pretty good ones in the past, hey? Eric Carlson used to put a lot into it, along with his wife. So, like I said, very, very key that you have a lot of fun at the Halloween party.
Tim Stutzla said yesterday, because he was made available, that he had lots of fun. Lots of bonding went on at the team Halloween party. He was also asked to discuss his new line, because Brady Tkachuk. Back on the top line with Norris and Batherson. So where does Tim Stutzla land? Well, he lands on a line with Chris Tierney, who leads the team in goals with three. And we thought, who will be the other winger? Well, it turns out to be speedy Alex Formanton on the other side. Here's Tim Stutzla on being the second fastest guy on his line.
Chris is actually really fast too sometimes, and he's just so smart with like where the puck goes. And as a center, you don't always have to be the fastest guy on the ice. So, I mean, as a winger, for me, it's for sure the fastest guy on the team, that's for sure.
Chris Tierney is fast sometimes.
Sometimes not so fast.
Eh?
That's outstanding.
Yeah, that is actually. Yeah. He's sometimes fast, sometimes not so fast.
And we have some schnitzel.
We go with the boys. We get some clickage. We're going to have some pints. Yeah, it's an interesting line. I don't mind Formanton. The part with him, JR, and just like on his five-year-old kindergarten report card, he's got to learn to quite simply play better with others. I don't know if they're going to try to stretch him into the neutral zone, open things up, the brains of the operation being Tierney and Stützle. But I like the formation of that. I like the opportunity for Formanton versus being on the fourth line behind Mr. Sanford. So on paper, they're trying to do this. And, hey, let's see where Pinto and Norris go. But let's give Tierney some credit for early on skating better, down 12 pounds, back is good to go. And, hey, we'll see where these lines. But at least now you can look at it, JR, with Tkachuk in there and say, hey, that's a decent top nine, right? And who cares? I'm not going to say who cares when Watson comes back. But that's what you're talking about. And in a light schedule like that, to be quite honest with you, I mean, it really doesn't mean a whole lot who's on that fourth line. Get that top nine goal and keep the power play moving along, and let's see where the Chuckmeister is come Thursday.
Tkachuk, Norris, Batherson, Paul, Pinto, Brown, Stützle, Tierney, Formanton. The fourth line at practice yesterday was Sanford, Shaw, and Tyler Ennis. As he said, Austin Watson still probably, a couple of weeks away from returning to the lineup. We'll see. I guess Sanford may go slide into the middle. Maybe Tyler Ennis. We'll see. Because Watson is the fourth line right wing.
Does the Kelly fella not play some center ice?
I think he's played a little bit too. Yeah. So yeah.
And I think early on he you can see he's a feisty, nice fella. But he's been a little undisciplined and kind of running around. So probably have to just critique that a little bit and slide him in at some point.
Somebody pointed out on text this morning that Chris Tierney now tied with the Montreal Canadiens in goals. So
exactly.
Far.
Exactly. And two of the three from Durant, and I don't even know who scored the other one from Montreal.
Yeah, and never you mind, send in those texts, keep them coming. If you want to absolutely bury the Habs this morning, you're more than welcome, okay?
Yeah.
We'll accept those in any flavor whatsoever. All right. So there's your Sens update. They're back at practice, and the San Jose Sharks coming to town. I watched good portions of the game. Once it got out of hand last night, I kind of was flicking around on other stuff. I don't understand why they have been as bad as they. Based on the talent they put out on the ice last night, you kind of going, well, you know, Erik Karlsson at whatever health he's at right now, he's not the player that he used to be, but he's still a really good hockey player. I mean, let's be honest, right? And Logan Couture, and like they've got some good hockey players on there. And it's like, how were they as bad as they were? Is the Evander Kane effect so big that despite being the team's best player, that everybody hated being at the rink so much? Yeah. That they essentially trash their season?
I don't think it's that, Jerry. I think it is the
goaltending bad?
Well, no, here's what it is.
Well, the goaltending was bad.
You had, a 15-year run where you were a Stanley Cup favorite? I think last year was a bottoming out of expectations, right? They have come back with nothing. You throw in a bunch of young players that early on, you're not sure if they're any good. Nobody knows them. You got a pretty good vibe around the team. You're playing a little better. I think that's what it really is that last year was just that year of, okay, you know what? Previous year in the playoffs, Pavelski, I think, is a huge part, having walked out of town. Hey, I still don't think they're a very good hockey team, but I think it's fresh and new. And like I said, there are zero expectations for them to be good. And you freshen it up with a new goaltender and do a few other things, and let's see where it goes. But I think that's as much to do with it. I don't think, you know, is having Kane there, not having Kane right now, good, JR? For sure. Like I said, he's taken this to another level with the whole vaccine card that is just, you know, it's impossible to comprehend.
Listen to the comments from Bob Bugner, the coach, yesterday, and Logan Couture. This is yesterday morning when they were asked about Evander Kane, his whole situation. Of course, he's been suspended now by the NHL for 21 games. They are making it more than apparent without saying it out loud. They don't want the guy coming back.
Yeah.
That was 100% apparent by what was said.
I would assume Doug Wilson. I don't think you're going to doubt to either waive him and send him to the minors, JR, or is there a possibility if you can't move him? Now, I know they've talked about trying to void the contract.
That's out the window now.
Yeah, I find that impossible. And now, what do you end up doing with him? I would probably, to be quite honest with you, I don't believe there's any thought to get him up and running, anybody will want him. I, at the end of the day, would either waive him to the minors, although I don't want him in the minors, probably just send him home, collect his money till the end of the year, and then buy him out. That's what I'd handle if I'm San Jose.
Yeah, he's got three more years left on his deal at an AAV of $7 or $7.5 million.
Yeah, $7 million, yeah.
That's going to be a long, expensive buyout.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money to pay someone to not play for you, who's a good player on the ice, yeah, to not play for you because he is he's a detriment in the yeah, dressing room.
And realistically for the franchise, until Carlson, Burns, Vlasic, JR, you know, what do they have to re-sign? Is it Meyer that needs a new contract or Hurdle?
Hurdle's
a big, you know, so hey, until you realistically, yeah, it's going to be a 3 to 5 year process realistic for San Jose anyway.
Might even be longer.
Yeah, for sure.
Like those guys suck up so much of their cap space.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the, you know, like Vlasic is essentially untradeable with the state of his game and what's left on his contract. Brent Burns, I don't say he's untradeable, but boy, it'd be a stretch to get out from underneath that contract. Eric Karlsson, same thing. Like,
well, I don't think you could trade any of the three.
Right?
Not with the term that they have.
Yeah, that's the problem is that, okay, you're going to buy them out. You're going to buy, you know, one, two, all three. Yeah. Then that's more than 3 to 5 years. Right, they've got so much term left on their contracts. If you buy them out, it's double the amount of time that's left. You're talking about a buyout that is still going to cost you millions of dollars a year on your cap, and will last from what, 8 to 10 years or something like that.
And again,
it's not realistic.
I don't know the ownership background there, but I don't think it's ever been incredibly deep pockets. Or do you have the appetite? That's the other part, JR. People have to remember, not every one of these teams is MLSE, and they just say, "Oh, it's a bottom line, walk away." I mean, somebody has to stroke a check to these fellas to make them walk away, and most people don't have an appetite for that.
Sharks in town tomorrow night to take on the Sens. That's Ottawa's next game. Are you still fired up about Eric Karlsson coming back to town? Is that ship sailed? I think he was back here the first time, I remember that because I was at the game.
Chabot put on a show, right?
Yeah, and was he back the next season as well? I'm trying to remember if he was here a second time. Of course, last year there were no visiting American teams, and no fans of the game anyway. But 3 years on, is the ship sail on Eric Karlsson, or is it still a big deal to you as one of the best, if not the best player in the history of the franchise? We can chat about that as well over the course of today and tomorrow, but again, Sens and Sharks tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. We'll have a pair of tickets, 100 level seats to give away to that game coming up on the show a little bit later on this morning. 7:32. We'll take a break when we come back. More on the Habs' poor start to the year, and we'll talk about the baseball playoffs. Has the time come that we start really realistically talking about robot umpires in Major League Baseball? Very controversial moment in last night's game, which may have swayed the final outcome. That will certainly be a topic today. We'll talk about it next right here on TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back. 7:37 here on a Wednesday morning. JR, Simmer, and Hammer on Eric Karlsson on text at 12-1200. He's been back a second time because Unsigned writes, "I was at the second game. That was the coming out party for Nick Paul." Still doesn't resonate with me, but there you go.
Yeah.
Ree Karlsson, this is another text. "I'm too happy with what we got for him to feel any strong emotion when it first happened. I was all for the big welcome when he came back. Now we need to move forward." That comes from Unsigned.
You know what Unsigned is? I just asked Hammer Jr. Forget about the trade itself, because I still think when a player like Alfie or Mark Stone or whatever, everybody else, Jr., but it is interesting in my opinion, and I'm not a fan, but I think there's such a mixed emotion with him, even though he won 2 Norris trophies, was the best talent and be a best player in my estimation in the history of the franchise. Well, you could put him up with Spets and Alfie and other players, but do you not agree that there's still, and not to do with that he came back twice, but I would assume if he won 2 Norris trophies, there would be a little more of a love affair with the market.
So I'm not sure some people aren't in love with Eric Karlsson.
I think by the time he left here that it just felt like, you know, and again, I don't know if it was all of the Hall Hoffman saga, the way that it played out, the way that he was kind of up and down as far as the captaincy, his overall play.
Mm.
Yeah. I just don't think it's the love in that I would expect for a guy that's won 2 Norris trophies.
Yeah,
that's all.
I think that's fair. It's not 100% all in. Like, it felt like, with Daniel Alfredson, it was 100% all in. With Eric Karlsson, I'll say it's 90% all in, 95%.
My perception is that Jason Spezza would have been a higher love coming back first time than Eric Karlsson. That's just my gut feeling. I could be way off.
Sometimes it takes more time too, right? There will be a time, and maybe it takes until a player retires. Eric Karlsson lives here in the off season. His wife is from here, and her family. And he may make Ottawa his full-time home whenever he decides to hang up the blades. And so that may be he's still incredibly popular. But I think people admire him for his on-ice ability. And not that it was it's checkered off the ice or whatever, but there wasn't the sort of the community feel that Daniel Alfredsson had. I don't think as much with Erik Karlsson.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it has less to do with Erik Karlsson and just more to do with what's going on around this team right now and all the good things that are surrounding this team that has got the fan base, that's got the fans' attention right now with the young core and the young players and the rebuild being over and trying to become a more consistent playoff team. I think Erik Karlsson, he's been hurt so much in San Jose. You really just haven't heard his name in the NHL circles, right? He's just been kind of out of it because of injury, and he really hasn't been the player.
And also the trade has been the most one-sided trade since Jason Spezza and Chara went for Yashin, right? And Yashin was a whole different ball game, but the way it's played out, we would not even be talking about this rebuild realistically if it had not been for Norris, for Stützle, for all the other pieces that came in it and the way this has worked out.
Yeah, for sure. And sending him also to the other conference and on the other side of the other conference has been a little bit out of sight, out of mind, helped by the pandemic in which, we didn't have any fans in the stands. There wasn't a return. The Sharks have been terrible for a couple of years. So, there will be 65 jerseys in the rink tomorrow night, to be sure. I don't know that at this moment in time. I guess when I say Erik Karlsson and the Sharks, we say that. But I don't know that Erik Karlsson is selling hundreds and hundreds or thousands of tickets to the game tomorrow night, right? It kind of feels like it's a been there, done that sort of thing.
Yeah. Nor does he have the time.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, 7:41. More hockey coming up in just a second. Baseball playoffs last night. Houston and Boston were tied at 2 in the top of the ninth inning last night. Houston had a runner on, two out, and two strikes. Nathan Eovaldi is on the mound. He throws what appears to be the third strike. Should have ended the inning. The umpire, Lance Diaz, called it a ball. We've tweeted it out. If you haven't seen the highlight, it's on our Twitter. You find it on SportsCenter, whatever. It appeared to be from every angle. Should have been strike three. It was called a ball. And from there, the Red Sox collapsed. Or the Astros went out and won it. They scored 7 runs in the top of the ninth inning after that apparent missed call. Credit to Nathan Eovaldi, the Red Sox normal starter who came in relief last night, crazily enough, for taking the high road about the missed call after the game.
I thought it was a strike, but again, I'm in the moment. I'm trying to make my pitches. I'm attacking the zone. Felt like I made a good pitch on the outside corner, and, it didn't go my way, but I got to come back and, I got to answer back and make another good pitch.
There you go. Umpire Lance Diaz, and they've got people that study this. With strike zone, missed 21 balls and strikes last night, which is the most of any umpire who has appeared in a postseason game so far this year. So the Red Sox, by and large, it's become a bigger controversy, I think, from the chattering classes, the sports media people, and Red Sox fans than it has from the players themselves. Credit to the Red Sox. They aren't really blaming the umpire in this situation, but it certainly has led to the talk of, we see it already being practiced in the minor leagues where they have experimented with, in essence, robot umpires, where you've got the human behind the plate, but a buzzer is essentially telling him whether the ball is whether the pitch is a ball or a strike. Is it time that we bring that into Major League Baseball? That's our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question. Would you like to see MLB, what would you like to see them use to call balls and strikes? Human umpire, robot umpire. And it's really close. 53% of you like the robot umpire, 47% like the human umpire. Simmer, I'm not sure if you did it because Hammer and I went human umpire, whether you voted robot umpire just to be different or whether you truly believe in it, but you got 53% of people on your
side. Yeah, I'm going with the under 40 crowd because those are the 53%, and everybody over 40 went the other way. And also, when I hear buzzer, I really have to ask, is this guy also on the payroll for the Astros? That's something you... if the clanking
this
and the banging...
This is the new
form
of cheating for the Astros, is paying off umpires?
Hammer, if you get caught at that level, then what level do you go to next? Now, I'm assuming it would be fun to break down, guys, of the 21 missed calls, how many were towards the Astros, how many were toward the Red Sox?
Somebody pointed out this morning that there was a missed call in the Red Sox favor, a missed ball and strike call in the previous inning.
Well, there you go. So, he's consistently bad.
Yeah.
Now, this technology, JR, how how did what am I
this automated strike zone?
Yeah, like is this absolute 100%? Like, is this reliable? Like, is this everything that, hey, when we look at this stats package, is this like, is this realistic, or is this just an independent company?
Yeah, what I don't know is, do they actually have a chip in the ball, Hammer, with an somehow scanning the technology like an electric strike zone that says whether the chip goes through the...
They have nothing in the ball in baseball.
I thought that it was something like some sort of projector onto the strike zone. The ball goes through the strike zone. The computer with that.
So what
projector,
we see on TV.
Yes.
Yeah.
Makes the decision, ball or strike.
Jer, when that's done in tennis, that's a laser around the court, right? It has nothing to do with the ball itself?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Because the ball itself to regulate, I mean, God, imagine how many balls you'd... Hey, can I have that ball back at the U.S. Open? For any of these technology, I always say that with the pucks or anything else. Basketball and I guess football would be the easiest, right? Where you wouldn't have near the volume of balls that you'd use basically in baseball and pucks in hockey, right?
You're talking about from a cost point of view?
No. Well, cost, but also in trying to make sure that the quality control is there to make sure... I don't even know if it's a cost, but in a hockey game, I mean, you're talking about a lot of pucks you go through. Baseball, I can't even imagine. A basketball and football, not that I have.
Believe
any.
It or not, on average for baseball, it's about 100 balls a game, which I find I can't. But then you see them, a ball goes in the dirt, boom, it's gone.
Do they switch out a basketball in
no,
basketball?
I don't think so.
Like, I know they dry it off sometimes, and I'm assuming they have other ones. They rotate it around, but like I said, it wouldn't be the constant that you'd have in other sports. My point, to make sure that you're regulating it properly and figuring it out.
It kind of goes back to the overall topic, though, is how much do we want technology involved in sports, right? What we're debating here is, are we, and this is my personal preference, is game is played by humans. Yeah. The humans make mistakes. The people that are whose job it is to determine, the rules of the game, the umpires, the referees, whatever they are in whatever sport we're talking about, they're human too. They're going to make errors. Hopefully, you have people grading those people. Those who are not good at their job end up not being employed. And those that are good will get to that level where the best of the human umpires are in Major League Baseball. I think part of the problem has been, and again, I don't know the names of all the bad umpires, but I know that people who follow the game really closely go, oh, that guy, terrible, terrible. And yet we find these guys always in the League Championship Series and in some cases the World Series. Why are they getting to that level where they're getting to the most important games of the year? That's the part that doesn't make sense to
me. Yeah, I don't know either, but I just find with every sport, Jer, I've never been a complainer about officials, but it appears that if you're an NHL fan, you have the worst officials. Move over to the next sport, soccer. And I got to be honest with you, if you're working in management or coaching, Jer, you want the human element there. You need the blame game because it's a big part of why you're losing, right? The referees
one
were out
call.
To get it.
One more
you
call.
You can't fight the computer, right? The computer's never wrong.
See, I agree with you, Jared. There just seems to be Major League Baseball is not really paying attention when it comes to the umpiring crews or just individual umpires that are doing the best job and rewarding those umpires. You see it in the National Hockey League. You see it in the NFL.
No,
You don't see them getting picked.
Oh yeah,
by their season and how they've done. Because Laz Diaz was one of the worst home plate umpires.
But
Major League Baseball.
You
this
mean
season.
In the other sports they award the best officials?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's hard to understand, right? I mean, hey, the NHL, and was it Timmy Peel or who was it that was about to retire last year made
Tim
the
Peel,
comment,
yeah.
you know,
yep.
poor Timmy, and you're out, you know, and for
that was
most,
the hot mic, right?
You know,
that's
such a big part of the NHL of awarding guys, hey, you've had a great year. You know, you're not perfect, but that's why you move on. And to your point, JR, assumption is it's just because and this is another one. Like, is there a stronger union in... We talk about the baseball union for the players. Mm-hmm. The baseball umpires have always been incredibly powerful, right? So I'm assuming that goes exactly why the worst and oldest officials continue to do the biggest games,
yeah.
right?
So do we think, despite the fact... Okay, well, two of us vote for human umpires. You vote for robot umpires. Do you think it's going to come? Do we think we're going to see it, whether it's... And again, they're experimenting with in the minor leagues. I'm assuming that whatever issues that they're having with it are being ironed out, and eventually it will be as good as it possibly can be. Or do you think we're going to get to a stage where for Major League Baseball, at least, we'll see a robot essentially calling the balls and strikes.
I do think they'll get to a combo technology, JR. I do think at some point they'll use it, and I do hate to think it'd be in replay to make the games even go up to 6 hours, but I do think at some point technology will be introduced for balls
and
strikes.
We're going to have challenges for balls and strikes?
Well, that's what Hammer wanted. That's what Hammer wanted to introduce.
That's not what. No, I do not want to introduce balls.
You said that as a original poll question. I don't know. Like I said, well, that's just my feeling. At some point, they're going to do something there that is an aid to the umpire, and whether that's a buzzard on him, because they like their buzzards. Help him with
we
the balls.
A bird now on his shoulder.
Well, no. We're going to do just like the Astros did. He's going to have a little buzzer.
Buzzer.
Hey, that was
okay.
A strike.
Yeah.
We're going to buzz him.
I think we're going to get to that point if human umpires don't improve or there's just not enough of them to go around.
See, here's the thing about balls and strikes. It should be something that is black and white, right? There's not a shades of gray. In a perfect world, there's a strike zone and you call it. And the pitch is either in the strike zone or it's not, right? The thing with having robot hockey referees or whatever, is that hockey, almost all the calls, other than puck over glass and a couple of other ones, it's all shades of gray. It's what do I see? Well, there's no way that a robot can ever get to that point where it's able to determine what something is that's on the line, right? That's the difference in the two scenarios for me. If we're talking about hockey and baseball in particular, and that's why I never think we're going to see it in hockey. It's always going to be officiated by humans.
Yeah.
But with baseball, where again, if we're just talking about balls and strikes, presumably we've got a set strike zone. If we can find the technology that says that pitch is either for sure a strike or for sure a ball, I could see how Major League Baseball might adopt that.
Yeah, is it, guys, the toughest thing to do in sports to call balls and strikes?
I can't speak to it because I've never done it. To
well,
me,
I can't imagine
as an outside observer, I'm thinking, how can it be difficult?
Really?
How can it be hard?
To be at a major league game with the velocity, I know you have a trained eye, Hammer, but I watch it sometimes, and what it'll look like from behind the pitcher and then over the plate. Now, you're also standing behind with all your gear on your mask. You got the catcher, and you're back behind that.
But you've gone up the ranks, right? Just
I know.
A major league player, a major league hitter.
Asking, though, of all the things that have to be called in professional sports, I can't think there's anything that I would equate that's the same. I mean, again, everything's subjective when you come to officiating, but not like that. Like the volume, I guess. You're calling 100 and whatever games in a year. You're calling the playoffs. I know it's a trained eye. I still think it's the most difficult thing to do. That's just my
feeling.
And it
can change from player to player, right, depending on height, right? It's not something that's concrete. Yeah. You've got to take the players'
size. Is it supposed to be knees to chest?
Knees to letters.
Okay.
Yeah. Just want consistency. That's all we want.
And that's fine. Exactly. And then
if you're going to be consistently bad. That's all.
It's
going to have
obvious
a wide
errors.
Yeah, it's like I watched a few Blue Jay games this year, and to be quite honest with you, and there's some Blue Jay fans, and I'm sure if I watched other Major League Baseball broadcasts, local broadcasts, I get the same. The constant whining from fans and from broadcasters over balls and strikes just one after another. It's like the umpires in this case, they're conspiring against my team. Like, come on.
Isn't that kind of the sport, though, Jared, in a fun way? Like, isn't that why you're going, you know, to kind of the oohs and ahs and, oh, my God, I can't believe you, you know? I kind of think that's almost you're trained.
To get outraged.
I wouldn't even say outraged, Hammer. I just think it's almost part of the experience. Like, it's the whole stadium all of a sudden, whether it's a good call. You know, that edge as you get into playoff baseball and there's a big strike or a missed call, like it's absolutely incredible back when the Jays were winning World Series or any team that you follow for that matter, right? Where all of a sudden the mound, you know, the closer's in, you know, he throws the pitch and all of a sudden that little split second between a ball and a strike is a pretty intense moment.
But to JR's point of consistency, as long as the umpire is consistent, then it's up to the players to adapt to that strike zone. And I like a little bit of a bigger strike zone, a ball outside the zone and inside and top to bottom. Because then the
you don't, you
on
don't
the
want
hitters
them
to swing. You want them to swing. And get
so
the
you
ball
don't like
and
them
play.
Calling by the rules. You want them.
It's all subjective. As long as you're consistent, you're good to go.
Christian tweets at us. He'd like a third option on our tool and equipment store web poll question.
From human to robot, too.
Yeah. You know, our question is, what would you like to see the MLB use for balls and strikes? Human umpire, robot umpire. I'd like sober umpire to be added as a third option.
perhaps that
suggesting that Laz Diaz was into his cups last
but
night.
I think there's more an issue with the umpires of what they've had to eat. And I think they've had the bad barrel going. You're not
can't bend over far enough.
And you imagine the catcher's farting in your face the whole game? Like, you're just sitting there. Like, what an awful spot to be in, right? Like, how do you control that?
I'm hoping my catcher's not gaseous, but
You got four men in there that have all eaten a lot of protein before the game.
That's true.
Like, I'm thinking you're dropping. Everybody.
You got a lot of downtime, though. Like, you got 20 seconds between pitches. If I'm the catcher and I got to let one rip, I think I'd just, like, walk off to the side. Maybe over right near the on-deck circle.
You just can't mound visit. You can't mound visit that. You got to keep that around your area.
That's one where you walk out halfway to the pitcher and you just you pretend that you're doing some instructions.
You do a bit of a Dave Steeb kind of bit of a wiggle kind of a. Do the umpires still have the mega gear going, or they've kind of streamlined a bit, haven't they?
Oh no, they got the mega gear.
Yeah, it's all underneath the shirt now. Remember when it used to be back in the day when it was over top? Man, that was crazy.
Holding that big old pillow. Shield. Holding the big shield back in the day.
All right, so Astros win the game 9-2. That series is 2-2. Game 5 at Fenway this afternoon at 5 o'clock. And then the Braves and the Dodgers will play Game 4 of the NLCS tonight at 8. L.A. rallied with 4 in the bottom of the 8th. Huge win for them as they come back to beat the Braves last night 6-5. So Atlanta still up in that series 2-1. All right, 7:55. If you'd like to play our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute, text us right now at 12-1200. Standard messaging rate supply. We'll take texture number 50. All we need is your first and last name. And hopefully we're going to give away $1,000. Dave Poulin will join us. He was in Montreal last night to watch the Habs and Sharks. It was ugly for Montreal for a lot of different reasons. Dave Poulin will join us coming up in about 15 minutes. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
TSN 1200's $1,000 Minute.
All right, tickets to the Sens and Sharks, by the way, coming up later on this morning. Right now, we're trying to give away $1,000 in our $1,000 Minute to Evan. How are you doing this morning, Evan?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. I just got back in from up north in Horn Payne doing some work out there, so I actually have zero idea what's going on in the sports world.
Awesome. We're up north.
You're going to throw me some cupcakes here, boys. I really appreciate it.
I'm going to try. So for those that don't know, I've heard of the name Horn Payne, Ontario, but where is that?
That is near Wawa.
Okay.
North of Wawa.
Okay, and what would you be?
Near Thunder Bay.
What do you do up there?
I run an essential oil company with my brother. We distill essential oils.
Oh, okay. So how often do you have to go up?
We have 2 weeks, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off.
Okay. And you'll do that right through the winter?
Right through the winter and then off in the spring.
Okay. And you take the direct flight from Ottawa to Horn Payne, or do you have to go through Toronto?
We're driving, man. 12 hours.
Okay. All right. So, Evan, have you heard this contest before then or not?
I definitely have. Okay. I listen to this religiously when I am in Ottawa.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. There's nothing that's happened here in the last 2 weeks, I don't think. You should know all of these answers. I think you're going to go 10 for 10. I got high hopes for you.
10 for 10. I'm hoping, man. Yeah.
All right. Here's how it works. I got 10 questions. You got 60 seconds. You go 10 for 10. You're going to win the 1,000. We'll give you $10 per correct answer. Here are the rules. I need all of your answers by the 60-second buzzer. I need to accept your first full and complete answer. If you want to, you can pass on a question. If there's time, we'll go back to it. Okay?
Oh, there's going to be a bunch of passes. Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, Evan, we wish you good luck. We're going to start in 3, 2, 1, go. Name any NHL team that hasn't lost a game this season.
Wild.
True or false, the Raptors made the playoffs last season.
True.
In 1993, the Blue Jays and what team played the highest scoring World Series game in history?
Pass.
True or false, Wayne Gretzky had a brother who played in the NHL?
True.
What nationality is rookie Wings defenseman Moritz Seider?
Finish.
Who won the NBA title last season? Who quarterbacked the Ravens to their last Super Bowl win in 2013?
Flacco.
Martin Brodeur played for two NHL teams, the Devils and whom?
Pittsburgh.
How many Memorial Cups have the 67s won?
Four.
Who did the Dodgers beat in last year's World Series?
L.A.
Okay, L.A. The Dodgers beat L.A. That would be tough to do. Okay. You have been in horn pain for too long, Evan.
I drove all night. It's been tough, boys. I haven't slept. It's been tough.
Yeah, listen, I drove all night. I think there's a song there with Cyndi Lauper. Anyway, let's go through it. Name any NHL team that hasn't lost again. You got that right. The Wild are 3-0.
Nice.
Took you a while to get there, but you did. True or false, Raptors made the playoffs last season. That's false. In 93, the Blue Jays and the Phillies played the highest scoring game. 15-14 was the final in that game. True or false, Wayne Gretzky had a brother who played in the NHL. Yep, Brent played 3 games. What nationality is Moritz Seider? He's German. Milwaukee won the NBA title last season. I'm not sure. I know you didn't get it right. Did you answer or no? No buzzer?
I passed.
Oh, you passed.
I couldn't think of anything, man.
All right. Joe Flacco, quarterback, the Ravens, the Super Bowl. You got that right. Martin Brodeur played for the Devils and the Blues. He finished off his career with the St. Louis Blues. The 67s have won 2 Memorial Cups, and the Dodgers did not beat L.A. in the World Series. They beat Tampa in the World Series. What do we have for our very tired friend, Evan?
We still have $30 for Evan.
30 bones.
30 buckaroos. I would like you boys to donate that right to mental health awareness.
We appreciate that, Evan. Thank you very much. Going to put you on hold. Thanks a lot for calling, and safe travels for the rest of the way home, and thanks for listening.
Thanks a lot, boys. Cheers.
All right, 8:04. We'll take a break, get you the latest news and sports, and then when we come back, Dave Poulin, NHL Hockey Insider, will join us. He was in Montreal last night to watch the Sharks shock the Habs, and Montreal is 0-4. How bad is it in Montreal? Dave Poulin will tell us next right here on TSN 1200.